Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would you do if you were a parent and received word that your son was on an ambulance? This is the phone call that no one wants to get. But it's also the story of Mark Kirchhoff receiving a call, yes, no parent wants to hear, and witnessing the gracious power of God's intervening hand. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you, dear friend, yes, lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know His love, His grace, that God loves you so much, He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Mark Kirchhoff and intervened in the life of his family, is here reaching out to you. Our question, will you turn to Him? You might say, Danny, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't even know what I'm going through. And you're right. But God knows. God knows, and no matter how far away you feel you are, He can bring you back. Will you turn your heart to Him? In fact, I believe this is why the Lord has us together at this very time, this very moment. Mark Kirchhoff is the stewardship advisor at Stewardship Resources in Terre Haute, Indiana. He's also on the adjunct faculty of Lake Institute on Faith and Giving at the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. Mark earned his doctorate in ministry at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, where he also earned his Master of Divinity degree. He graduated from Purdue with his degree in public relations. He's married to Jill. They have two children, Jonathan and Jesse. Mark, hey, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's a pleasure to be with you today, and hello, or I should say aloha, to all your listeners as well.
Well, you certainly know how to touch the heart there, brother. where did you grow up, Mark?
I grew up in a small town of 2,500 people called Bloomfield, Indiana. It's just about an hour's drive from where I sit in my home now in Terre Haute, Indiana. Grew up in a family of teachers in a small high school. My graduating class was 82 people, and went from there to the great big campus of Purdue University, where I studied public relations for 4 years. So it was quite a culture change. So we lived in Indiana my entire life.
Well, I think I'm going to want to at some point touch back on the great chasm that you jumped over from a small school to the great school of Indiana, Purdue University. Ooh. But who influenced you most, Mark, in your growing up years?
I would have to say, in addition to my parents, obviously, my pastor when I was in junior high school, his name is Bob Curtis. He's long retired now and living in Colorado, but Bob Curtis was my, I have to say, idol, my icon when I was in junior high, an impressionable junior high kid. I just thought the world revolved around Bob. He was my pastor. He was my friend. He was there at our church, First Baptist Church in Bloomfield, for 4 years. And when he left, I was absolutely devastated. I thought the world was coming to an end. There was no use going to church anymore because Bob had been such an influential part of my life. I had been baptized, made a commitment to Christ before his arrival, but because of his leadership and guidance, not just to me, but my family and, of course, our congregation, I just grew tremendously in my faith for the 4 years of junior high and into my the start of my high school career under his leadership.
Well, you mentioned his leadership. Obviously, it's almost it seems as though it may even be hard to put into words the kind of impact that he's had. But God works through people. He works through women.
That's
he
right.
works through men. He works through young people, people of all ages. What was it about Bob Curtis that really left an impression on him?
Yeah, he valued every person. You know, I was a junior high kid, and yet he treated me as an important member of the congregation, as someone who had good ideas and was worthy of consideration. I remember him as a person who would reach out and touch lives, no matter what the background, you know, what kind of person you were. He loved you just as Jesus loved us. He took that seriously. And I know when I was in junior high and Bob was there, my mother was actually chairman of the deacons, which was very unusual in that time for there to be even a woman deacon, but for her to be the chairman of the deacons. And he said, you know, we got more done in those 4 years that she was on the deacons and the year that she was a deacon chair than the other times that he's been a pastor. So, and he valued and he kind of bragged on my mother. And I just had a sense of worth, not just for me, but for every person in that congregation.
How did you become a Christian? Take us on that journey.
Yeah. Yes. I grew up in a Christian home. Mom and dad were faithful churchgoers. We went to church every Sunday. So I really don't feel like there was any time I was outside of the church. Now, in terms of being inside the faith, I made that commitment when I was 11 years old, just a month before my 12th birthday. I went through the discipleship classes, as a lot of kids my age would do in that time. The pastor taught us about the Bible and about Jesus and the stories of the Bible, and then taught us about the saving grace of Christ, how he lived a sinless life, how he died to take our place in death for our sins, and invited us to make that commitment. And so as an 11-year-old kid, I made that commitment, not really knowing all that was involved, but knowing I needed a Savior, knowing that I needed to needed to make that faith commitment. And so I, along with several others in my junior high class, were baptized into the faith on February 1st, 1970, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And since that time, I've served as a pastor, youth leader. I was even involved as a high school youth on the church council at First Baptist in Bloomfield. And so I was blessed by to have a Christian family, but blessed by my church family as well. It was very nurturing and helped me grow in the faith. And I cannot look back and say that, you know, at any time I was fully engulfed in the faith, that, you know, I knew it all, I'd already learned it all. Even to this day, I continue to be nurtured by a church family, by a Christian family. But it all started back there, really, with mom and dad growing up, and then in my formative junior high years under Bob.
What difference would you say? I mean, we're starting in 1970, a moment of change, a moment of commitment, milestone moment. But here, years later, decades later, what would you say? What difference has Jesus made in your life, Mark?
I think it's all about trust. As I look back on my life, I see, you know, a lot of good formative events, as I've described already. But I also see a lot of mistakes, a lot of wrong paths I've gone down. And yet at every turn, I can see that God was there, that I was forgiven through Christ, and that I got second and third and fourth and fifth and who knows how many second chances that I've had over my life. And that grace that one of my professors in seminary used to pray, thank you for the grace that sustains us. And I pray that myself now, because as I look back at my path, my life path, and see the both the good things and the bad, I can see that it's only by God's grace that I am where I am today, and it's only by God's grace that I continue to grow in grace.
Mm. You're listening to Mark Kirchhoff. Mark is a teacher. He's a pastor. Mark has served in ministry, serving the Lord, and of course serving people in the name of the Lord for decades. I recently had the privilege of meeting Mark in person, sitting under his teaching, learning from him, gaining really from the wisdom that the Lord distilled through him and his gifts, his divine gifts that the Lord has instilled in him. And today we have the privilege of being with Mark. You know, Mark has experienced something recently, well, in the last several years, that I think will be so compelling in such a way that will have us reevaluate where we are, not only with God, but with loved ones, how we perceive the gift of life that God has given us. When we come back from our break, more from Mark Kirchhoff. Dear one, where are you today? Where is your heart? What's going on? What's floating around in your mind? Are you stressed? Are you worried? Are you overwhelmed? Has news recently gotten to you that has caught you off guard? Oh, my friend, you're at the right place at the right time, because God has sent Mark Kirchhoff to share a message heart to heart, from his life and his family to yours. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, it's the phone call no parent wants to receive. Mark Kirchhoff received that phone call, he and his wife Jill. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Lani Ka'a'a, my co-host, with you today. Thanks for joining us. We're in for a real blessing, but also a challenge. Mark Kirchhoff, our guest today. Mark, what happened over 6 years ago? It was a Monday night. You were reading a book. I guess the television was on, but you were sitting on your chair reading a book. What happened?
It was March 11th, 2013, as a matter of fact. And I was kind of lost in thought reading the book, just kind of unwinding on a Monday after a Monday work day. And I heard my wife answer her phone downstairs in the family room. And normally I would just, ignore it and move on. But there was something in her voice. I could tell there was some urgency. And she came up the stairs and after speaking just briefly on the phone, hung up and said, "Jonathan, our son, is on his way to the hospital. He collapsed. He had been playing basketball with some of his buddies, college buddies at the time, in a gymnasium, and they were kind of done, and some of them had left, and he collapsed. He had a seizure. They had noticed he was acting kind of oddly, and but didn't think much of it until, obviously, he collapsed. Ironically, about 5 minutes before he collapsed, one of his buddies, who was a physician's assistant, had already left. Fortunately, some of his other buddies who, like him, were teachers, knew CPR and knew what to do. They called the ambulance, and he was on his way when they called us to the hospital in the ambulance to treat this seizure. We're so thankful he was with friends. Another 5 minutes, he'd have been driving home or may have been there by himself and left to die. But God saw that there were the right people there in the right place at the right time. And so we all rushed to the hospital. My kids accused me of driving too fast sometimes, but that night I actually beat the ambulance to the hospital. And we waited there briefly, and after a while they invited us back into the exam room, and they discovered that, yes, he'd indeed had a seizure. They didn't know why. Jonathan was still a little disoriented. He recognized Jill and I, but he was confused as to where he was and what the date was and a little bit of what was going on. So they admitted him, kept him in the hospital to run some tests. A day or two later, after they had run the tests, they said that he indeed had a tumor on the surface of his brain, on the left side of his brain. And the we met with a neurosurgeon who met with us and said, we're going to go in there and take that tumor out, and we're going to get rid of this. After he told that to Jonathan, he beckoned my wife and I into the hallway and said, "This is a very aggressive tumor." He says, "I don't know if it's cancerous or not. We'll know that after we do a biopsy." But he said, it's a fast-growing, aggressive tumor that we need to get rid of. And so a week later, on March the 18th, we had surgery. We had a four-hour surgery at the local hospital, one of the local hospitals on the north side of Terre Haute. And we had family and friends gathered to pray and to be with us and with Jonathan during that surgery. And they removed the tumor, but following the surgery, the neurosurgeon came out and spoke to Jill and to me and said that they were not successful in getting all of the tumor. It was one that he called it an astrocytoma. And if your listeners know anything about that, it's the kind that extends fingers out into whatever tissue it's attached to. And so they were not able, he said, I didn't want to risk, damaging the brain. It was on the surface of the brain, which he said was good, but said that they could. He felt they could treat it with radiation and chemotherapy. It was cancerous, as it turned out, and so we felt. My wife says, "Well, I just feel like I've been slugged in the gut," and that's about as accurate an account as I can give as to how it felt. So we continued, obviously, with our friends and family to pray. They scheduled some chemotherapy. They wanted chemo and radiation to start at the same time, but they, for different reasons, they could not get it all coordinated. Jonathan had some after effects of the surgery. He was fine, you know, physically, had some infection that started, and so they postponed the treatment. And of course, Mom and I are worried here, you know, we got to get this treatment started. We got to get rid of this tumor, what's left of it. And he just kept getting worse and worse. He got to the point where he was hallucinating and was delirious. He was literally out of his mind. And I remember as I watched, he was in intensive care this whole time after the surgery, of course. I remember sitting with him and watching and listening and looking at what was going on, and it brought me back to a time from my childhood when my great-grandmother was literally dying, and he looked and acted just like she did about 3 days before her death. So I knew something very serious was going on. The doctors tried to find out what that problem was, what kind of infection. They thought maybe it was meningitis. And so they tried to do a spinal tap, and they could not get any fluid enough to do a diagnosis. They tried 7 times to do a spinal tap with no success. And finally, Jill and I said, no more. You know, Jonathan was in pain. He was not doing well. And we said, no more spinal taps. So they said, well, we'll treat him for meningitis and see what happens. Well, he just kept getting worse and worse. And so finally on a Wednesday evening, the surgeon came out and said, we think maybe there's an infection in the skull and the bone part that they had to take out to do the first surgery. He said, we're going to go right back in there and take that out and clean it out, try to disinfect it and get rid of whatever infection we find there. And we said, oh, okay, that's great. When are you going to do it? He said, right now. He said, he's being prepped for surgery right now. So Jonathan had a second brain surgery just about a month and a half after the first. And this time we weren't quite as well prepared. We called the church. They were having prayer meeting. It was a Wednesday night, and as prayer meeting ended, everybody came over to the hospital to join us and wait on another 4-hour surgery. At the end of that time, the surgeon came out, and he says, well, we did not find any infection, but what we did find was an abscess. And he said, we removed the abscess. We went ahead and disinfected everything, you know, put the skull fragment back in place, and we'll see what happens. Now, I want to pause here, if that's okay, and tell you a couple of things that happened during those two surgeries. First off, at the first surgery, if you go into Union Hospital in Terre Haute, Indiana, it's a beautiful new facility. You walk in the atrium, and it's a glass atrium that covers the entire front of the hospital. And you walk into the hospital, and you can see literally from one end of the hospital to the other, and it's about a block long. And the surgery area is off to the right, and there are just little, I call them little camps of couches and chairs for families to wait in that atrium for their loved ones who are in surgery. There are about 4 or 5 of those little circles of furniture. And the day of Jonathan's first surgery, we were the only family and friends gathered there. There were apparently no other surgeries because no one else was in that whole atrium area. About halfway through the surgery, a little old lady carrying a latte came in, literally climbed into our area. We had magazines and snacks and all sorts of things just laying around. And, you know, for 4 hours, friends were coming and going, family members coming and going. And we weren't sure who everybody was. We'd not all met each other and so forth. But this little old lady, if those of you who are old enough to remember, she reminded me of Helen Hayes, the actress. But she came in, climbed into our area, and sat down and started sipping her latte. And people started kind of looking and wondering and whispering, you know, who is this? We don't know her. And my wife, after a few minutes, turned to her and said, "Are you okay?" And the lady said, "Yes, yes, I'm fine, thank you," and continued to sip her latte. And she sat there with us for several minutes. Finally, got up out of our circle of friends, and as she walked out, she paused right at the entryway to the surgery area and looked, staring right through the double doors into the surgery area. And as she was doing that, someone next to me on my other side said, "Who was that anyway?" And I turned and I said, "I have no idea," and turned right back, and she was gone. I believe we were visited by an angel.
An angel, Mark, that reminded you of the first lady of American theater, Helen Hayes.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. When we come back from our break, let's continue to talk about God's marvelous and gracious presence, even this woman, who, as you say, very well indeed may have been an angel of the Lord sent. Now, the Lord has visited you, angels, his gracious hand of providence and miracle-working power. Mark Kirchhoff, today somebody is in need of hearing of God's marvelous working in their life as he hears, as she hears what God has done in your life. It's transcendent in a way, mysterious, yes, but the love of God is undeniable. His presence with you now, dear one, even as you listen. This is not by chance. It didn't just haphazardly come together. No, you're listening to this program and listening to Mark Kirchhoff for a reason. God's reminding you of something, dear one. Open your heart and stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So Mark Kirchhoff was sitting in the waiting room. He says, I saw the ambulance coming down the street and slowing to pull into the ER bay. It was a bit of a surprise, slightly upset that the lights and the siren were turned off, he wrote. What would you do if, you know, your son was on there and the sirens and the lights were turned off? Well, we fast forward his dear son, Jonathan Kirchhoff, who had a seizure, who was diagnosed with a brain cancer, brain tumor, had it removed, multiple surgeries. Before our break, Mark talked to us about a visit. He thinks it was an angelic visit. A woman, he says, reminded him of the First Lady of American Theater, Helen Hayes. She was there. She sort of found her way into the family gathering, and then all of a sudden, she was gone. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Lani Ka'a. Thanks for joining us. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, download it as a free podcast, and as we typically say, share it with a family member or friend. Thegoodlifehawaii.com. Mark, as you're sharing, I'm wondering about if you'll tell us about your mother and her ministry as a prayer warrior.
Well, it's interesting. When I told, of course, we spread the word widely, asking for prayers for Jonathan. We actually heard from people via email and internet and Facebook and so forth. We heard from people who were living in 6 foreign countries and 25 United States. All praying, missionaries praying for us, friends, family members, church members, people that we didn't know. But the first person who started praying was my mother. My mother is a true prayer warrior. I shared with you, she was a deacon in our church. She still is a church leader there. And when I need something, need prayer for something, Mom is the first person I go to. As she prayed, and she would tell me, as obviously we would talk daily about Jonathan during this process, she would tell me, you know, I prayed today and God told me, I've got this. Don't worry. Now, my mom's not typically a worrier, but I'm probably more of a worrier than she is. And Jill is a worrier as well. But through this whole process, my mother prayed and just reassured us that everything's going to be okay, that she was talking with God, and God was talking with her and telling her that everything is going to work out.
Thanks, Mark, so much for sharing that your story. And as I sit here listening to you share, you know, it seems so easy for you to share today. But I think 6 years ago, asking the same questions would have, you know, you were constantly faced with two steps forward and one step back, or maybe sometimes one step forward and two steps back. So there are families that are currently in the middle of what you went through. And as you kind of reflect back to those times, when those periods came, when those setbacks came, how did you face those? And how can you help another family out there today facing that to just get through those moments?
I would say find someone who will pray with you and for you. Like I say, we heard from people in 6 foreign countries, 25 United States, praying for us. And just knowing that those folks were there praying, they couldn't do anything other than pray, most of them. But just knowing that those folks were there strengthened us as we went through this process. Having friends and family there, you know, during the surgeries, obviously, was wonderful. It was nice to have a human presence there, a comfort for us. We had people, you know, bringing food as typically Christians do for one another, people sending cards, visiting in the hospital during the recovery process. But I think the most important thing is the folks who would pray for us, our church family. And for those, you know, who maybe don't have a church family, you probably do know someone who is a part of a church family, or at least who's willing to pray for you. And there is no greater strength than you can draw, that you can draw, than from someone who can offer prayers and build a network of prayer warriors for you.
Yeah.
I would encourage anyone to develop a prayer warrior network.
Mm-hmm. And Mark, were there any particular scriptures that you clung to that really helped you through those really tough moments?
Well, I think Jonathan's life verse, I carry a little thing in my pocket now that has Jonathan's life verse on it, and it is from Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And just holding on to that, I know Jonathan did through the process, and we did as well, that not so much that we could do it. Yeah, it was an endurance. It was like running a marathon that we'd never trained for. We can get through this, again, with our prayer warriors behind us, but with God's word behind us too, saying, you know, there's another verse in the scriptures that says, you know, God will not allow anything to happen to you, but what he will provide you, the strength to endure it. So I really clung to that scripture and to the prayer warriors that we had for us.
After all the setbacks, one step forward, two steps back, and so on, there came a point where Jonathan was finally able to start chemotherapy. How did things move forward from that point on in his recovery? Mm-hmm.
Well, they went well for a while. In fact, Jonathan had a third near-death experience. The first, of course, was the seizure. The second was the right before the second surgery. He actually then developed pneumonia, as was pretty common for folks who've had major surgery. He was back in the hospital, but while he was in the hospital, he threw a blood clot from his leg. And fortunately, he was in the hospital at the time, because they were able to call the crash cart and call, you know, the code. It saved his life again. Had he been home or been recovering at our house, as he was for part of the time, he probably would have died. We couldn't have gotten help to him quickly enough. So it was a lot of two steps forward, one step back. But the chemo did start. He was on chemo actually for several months after this. But the amazing thing that really we discovered after his second surgery was that, as I said, the second surgery was the removal of an abscess. I did a little research after that surgery, and I discovered that the nature of an abscess is that it grabs tissues around it. Whatever it's clinging to, it wants to stay. So it clings like a kitten on your sweater when you've got it up against your chest. It clings and it pulls. And evidently, when the doctor removed that abscess, it removed the rest of the cancerous cells as well. Because in October of 2013, just about 7 months after the initial seizure and the initial discovery of the tumor, the doctor started using that term remission. And we thought, wow, the chemo's working, you know, the surgery worked, the radiation worked. He was through with the radiation, the chemo continued. And after a few months, he was actually back. He's a teacher. He was back in the classroom in October, which was a miraculous recovery. But over the course of several months, they started doing scans, you know, regularly to look for, you know, any remaining pieces of the cell, the cancerous cells, and they found none. And in fact, to this day, the doctor, he has not found any additional cancerous cells in the brain.
That's That is amazing.
His oncologist says he doesn't know what to do with him. He said nobody's ever survived this kind of cancer more than 3 years.
Wow.
Jonathan is at 6 now.
Wow. You know, I'm just listening to you, and you bring such hope. But what I hear underneath your story is your constant referral to it could have been worse. And I just want to commend you, because I think sometimes we as Christians or we as people don't realize what God has actually saved us from. And you have an eye to understand that God saved me, even though it's bad right now. It could have been worse. But God gave us grace to allow us the next step because he protected us from what could have been worse. And I just want to commend you. I just want to shout that out to our audience, that even though it looks rough right now, it could have been worse, and God is at work. And your story brings great light to that. So thank you so much. I want to ask you a little different question, a little bit about Jonathan's birthday. You did something special for Jonathan on his birthday. Would you share that?
Yes. As a young man, Jonathan used to do illusions, magic. He would do birthday parties and convention-type settings, you know, table magic and so forth. He's always loved magic, and we've encouraged that, and he enjoys it, still enjoys it to this day. But for his birthday, I guess a couple summers ago now, I said, how would you like to go out to Las Vegas to see the magic shows? Penn and Teller has always been his favorite. David Copperfield, we had been to see David Copperfield here in Indiana, and Matt Franco and several others, of course, all have shows out in Las Vegas. And we said, I said, you know, how would you like to go to Las Vegas to watch the magic shows? Oh, that'd be great. So we went out, we got airline tickets and hotels arranged and bought tickets to all the magic shows out there, and we went to all of them and enjoyed them thoroughly. But before we had gone to Las Vegas for the shows, Penn and Teller, again, his favorite magicians, were here in Indiana. And so I had surprised him by saying, you know, save this date. We're going to go up north in Indiana, and we're going to watch Penn and Teller. He thought that was great. So we were sitting up front in the theater, and those of you who have seen Penn and Teller on TV or otherwise know that they invite folks out of the audience. Toward the end of the show, Penn, Gillette, comes over to our side of the theater and starts looking in the audience, obviously for a volunteer. He looks at Jonathan, and then he looks at me, and I kind of nod and point my eyes toward Jonathan, and Penn looks at Jonathan and says, come up here on stage with me. And so Jonathan spent 20 minutes on stage with his favorite magicians of all time, doing an illusion with them. And I started snapping pictures. I don't know if they allowed pictures or not. I didn't care. I started snapping pictures, and some of them turned out. Most of them did not. But at the end of the show, they signed a program for him. They gave him, it was a magic trick where they had a lock, and they gave him the key that had Teller's name on it. And we had some decent pictures, and now Jonathan in his home has a shadow box of all these mementos of that, as he said, the best birthday gift ever. And so that was just a neat experience. And then to go back out in Las Vegas and see them again and meet them again was a real treat as well.
Anyone would agree, Mark Kirchhoff says, that two brain surgeries, a tumor, meningitis, and an abscess are enough for anyone to endure. Well, we couldn't agree more, couldn't we, Monica? But the story was not over, and you've heard a little bit about what took place in the aftermath, but there's more, and when we come back, Mark will share a little bit about that. Dear one, our hearts, as we listen, our hearts are always for you, because the Lord in his love loves you and knows you. And when we come back from our break, more from Mark Kirchhoff, sharing heart to heart. It's been quite a journey. The Lord has sustained him, his wife Jill, Jonathan's sister Jessie. And now the story is being shared with others. I know Jonathan has shared it. He's been invited to speak and share, of course. In times like these, we need words of hope. In fact, we'll have Jonathan in another program so you can hear from him as well. But when we come back, more from his father, Mark Kirchhoff. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So your child is still with you, still alive. You know how close your precious one was from transitioning from this life to the next, but God intervenes and gives you more time. Well, how do you speak to your child? How do you spend time with them? Well, Mark Kirchhoff pulled out all stops in a way with his dear son who loved magic, Jonathan Kirchhoff. Penn and Teller. But in this final segment here at the Good Life Radio Program, Danny Yamashiro here with Lani Ka'a, Mark Kirchhoff, our guest. Wisdom, insight. Mark Kirchhoff, what lessons has the Lord taught you through this ordeal?
I think, obviously, the power of prayer. I knew that. I knew the power of prayer. I read about it in God's Word. I believed in it as a person of faith, as a Christian for years, but I never really experienced the full power of prayer until going through this ordeal. I would say that's lesson number one, the importance of a family of faith to support and pray for us. There again, I knew of that. I had experienced it before, but never to the level that I did in this ordeal. You mentioned as we came into this segment, I tell people now, I have a witness to folks who are experiencing similar circumstances or even, you know, their child is sick at home, away from school, you know. Cherish every moment. Cherish every moment with your child. They grow up so fast anyway. And then to be blessed with what now is a six-year extension. The doctors tell us now that if he survived this long, this kind of cancer doesn't come back after that long. So we know we've been granted grace and an extended period of time with our son. Nonetheless, we cherish every moment. And whether it's going to magic shows in Las Vegas or going to a ball game, my son is a girls' high school basketball coach. And so I keep the scorebooks. I love doing that. We don't get to interact a whole lot during the game because he's coaching and I'm writing down statistics, but we're there. We're present with each other. We go out to eat frequently every Sunday after church. We go out as a family. We go to movies. We're talking about the Christmas show already coming up in Indianapolis this year and making plans for that. But we just find ways to cherish every moment, not just with Jonathan, but with our daughter Jessie as well, with family, with our extended family. And I think that's an important lesson that I've learned as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark. You know, your story is so, unfortunately, more common than we'd like to think. Parents struggling mm-hmm. with a child who's terminal or who is facing very tough illnesses. Do you have a message, especially for those parents in the middle of this with their child right now?
There is a God who loves them, who cares for them, who is with them every step of the way. And even when it doesn't seem like God is present or the friends have gone away or are not there or not available, no, God's Spirit is still there. You're never, never alone. And again, I point to the importance of prayer warriors and people of faith who can sustain us, help sustain us, and make God's presence felt even more. But even when that's not there, God is present, and He's a God you can lean on. You're never alone. You're never, ever alone. And thank goodness, thank God that He is always there, because we would not have made it without God's presence and the presence of His people.
Mark, thank you so much for that very important word somebody out there received. I just know that there are families and moms and dads out there that needed that to get through today. Would you mind praying for those families?
Oh, I'd be glad to. Our Father, our God, we thank you for your presence and the promise that Jesus gave us that you'll be with us always, everywhere, even to the ends of the earth and the end of the age. We thank you for the expressions of your presence, for others around us who pray for us, who stand with us, sit with us, eat with us, grieve with us, and laugh with us. Father, I pray for the families that are listening, and even those that are not, who are experiencing difficult times with loved ones, especially children, but friends, loved ones, neighbors, people who don't know where to turn, what to do. I pray that they would turn to you and that you would make your presence felt and that you would indeed sustain them with your grace. Father, we pray for all of those needs around us, the ones that we know, the ones that we share, the ones that we speak, and the ones that we don't speak but carry in our hearts. You've promised to carry the burdens with us, Father, and we just lean on that and trust in that as we pray for one another and lift one another up. God be with us, and we thank you for your Spirit and for Jesus Christ, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark, my friend, thank you. Thank you for carving out time from your busy schedule to share this message that is so deeply, deeply embedded in your heart. We're so grateful that you've been with us.
It's been my blessing, Danny. It's good to reconnect with you. Thank you for the time.
Dear one, heartfelt words from Mark Kirchhoff. And you know, God's timing is indeed perfect. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, we believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I thank you in advance. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Mark Kirchhoff. Until next time, along with my co-host, Lonnie Ka'a'a, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.